Well, hearts, this is the Tuesday edition of Challenge, and today's message is the message I preached just this past Sunday to our fellowship here in Jacksonville. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you ears to hear. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart to receive biblical truth, to understand, and to apply. So without any further comments, I'm going to take you to the message I preached this past Sunday. It's entitled, Another Day in the Life of Jesus. Be blessed as you listen. I'm doing something this morning that I have not done. I'm teaching one on Sunday morning that I taught on Wednesday night. I've never done that before. But I don't know if you heard it Wednesday night because I don't know if I had the internet going or not. It got kind of complicated, and I tried to avoid this morning and go to another area, but the Lord brought me back here. You're going to need ears to hear this morning, but the point is the Word of God says where two or three are gathered together,
amen.
I'm there in their midst.
Amen.
So, with that in mind, this morning I'm going to be talking about a leper, a demonized daughter, and a centurion with a sick servant. We're going to be beginning in a moment with Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. Because there we find a man with a problem. He was a leper. And at that time there was no known cure for leprosy at that time. Every morning when he got up, he was reminded he was a leper. Every day of the world when he awakened. And then throughout the day, he was reminded that he was a leper. His condition was really, at that time, a rather helpless and hopeless condition. There was no medical protocol for it. But we don't know how he heard. But he heard about Jesus. He heard about Jesus. Now, whether or not he had ever heard Jesus teach or not, we don't know. Had he ever seen Jesus minister? We don't know. We're not told. All we know is that at some point in all of his hopelessness and helplessness, in all of that, in all of his depression, he said, I'm going to Jesus. By now you should get ears. This message this morning, I'm teaching this morning what I taught this past Wednesday night by the internet. But I'm not sure the internet was working. And it applies to each and every one of you. Now hear me carefully. You as an individual have to listen to this. My wife cannot hear it from me. I cannot hear it from my wife. Each of us individually have to receive the message. And then each of us individually have to decide how to use the message. I don't know how else to say it. This man in his hopelessness and in his desperation had decided, I'm going to go to Jesus. I've heard about Jesus. I've heard what he does. I'm going to go see him. I'm going to ask him to heal me. This is a leper. Excommunicated, if you will, from the warp and the woof of everyday affairs. So I'm going to go to Jesus. You see, this morning as I speak to you, there are churches filled with people with problems that they don't really weigh down deep in their heart think Jesus can heal it.
Hello.
Or solve it.
Amen.
I've been at it a while. I know what I'm talking about. And then when we hear that so much of the church is not really born again, people attending church, listening to some degree, but never born again.
Right.
But for those who know Christ, you know that you know that you know Christ. Put on your listening ears this morning. I'm going to this leper. We don't know if he'd ever heard Jesus teach. We don't know if he'd ever been around Jesus. But he recognized his condition. There's a message.
Hello.
He recognized his condition. How few really recognize their condition? How few really recognize their condition? Whether it's emotional, spiritual, physical. Now, most of you can tell me what your financial condition is. You're well aware of your financial condition. But where am I emotionally? Where am I spiritually? Physically? What do I really believe? What do I really believe about the Word of God? This leper decides, I'm going to go see Jesus. And he did. We pick it up now in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. The Mount of Transfiguration. Recall that they come down from the mount and great multitudes follow them. Matthew 8, 2. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. This is a leper. No known cure. No medical protocol. Heard about Jesus? Had ever seen Jesus heal? I don't know. But somewhere way down deep in his spirit, he determined, if there's any hope for me, it's in him. What is true of him is true of me.
Amen.
What is true of me is true of you. I don't know what you're dealing with. God knows what you're dealing with. And so many times we deal with things we will not take to him.
Hello.
We bury them. We eat them. We cover them. Sometimes we don't like to acknowledge them, much less announce them. But this leper didn't kid himself. He looked at himself every day and he said, I'm a leper. This disease is eating me alive. I'm a leper. There's no cure. There's no healing outside of that Messiah, if that's the Messiah. So he came to him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said to him, and Jesus put out his hand and said to him, I'm willing. Be cleansed. Go back to once again. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put out his hand, did something nobody else would do. You didn't touch lepers. He laid his hand on the leper. Said, I will be thou clean. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Instantaneous, complete healing and restoration.
Praise the Lord.
Complete, total healing and restoration. All he did was say, if you will, you can. But what was he saying when he said, if you will, you can? He's saying, that's where my faith is. It's what I believe. I believe if you will, you can heal me. I believe that. And Jesus said, I will. And he did. See that you tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, I have no doubt whatever there are people who are listening to this who are going to listen to this, who are like this leper. They have a situation in their life. They have a situation only when Christ Jesus is the only hope.
Amen.
All of humanity, to one degree or another, is facing circumstances and situations for which there is no answer, no hope outside of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
It's in this room. It's individual. It's broad spread. He said, I have a condition which only Jesus Christ is the only hope. That's what he said to himself. I have a condition. And Jesus Christ is the only hope for this condition. And then, you see, once we get to this, unless God hears and answers prayer, many times there's no hope.
No.
Unless God hears and answers prayer, there's no hope for some situations and circumstances and conditions that we face. Let me say again now, this message has to be received by each individual at an individual level in their walk with the Lord. So this leper finally says, what have I got to lose by asking? Let me ask you, what do you got to lose by asking?
Nothing.
You say, I have asked. I'll show you in a moment that sometimes he doesn't answer right away. That doesn't mean he won't answer.
Amen.
Just because he had not answered in the time frame you expected him to answer does not mean that he will not answer.
Amen.
Sometimes he wants you to recognize your perseverance. Other times, he may be dealing with this and this and this before he deals with that. And I don't know if it ever occurred to you that sometimes he wants to correct this and correct this before he corrects that.
Hello.
So we move further with it now. Still, you can go ahead and ask. What you got to lose by asking? He may respond immediately. He may not. He may say, wait a while. He may say, wait. With this leper, he responded immediately. In one heartbeat, the leper was healed. The leper was totally healed. Then Jesus is going to give him some further instructions. You see, sometimes Christ will answer a prayer right away. Other times he may wait. He may delay his answer. I've been there. How many times? Because there are times he's got to deal with an issue before he deals with that.
Hello.
He's got to approach this before he approaches that. And sometimes we'll be smart to slow down and find out, is there anything you want me to do in this process before you do what I ask you to do? Did you hear me?
Amen.
Is there anything you want me to do before you respond to me in this situation? Sometimes he waits. Sometimes he delays in his answer. He did that with the woman with the demonized daughter. She came to him in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. I'll read it to you. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that, she came to him. She said, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. No doctor could handle that. Let me slow down just a minute. Demons are real.
Yes, sir.
Coming into the ministry from my background, I wasn't open to this. I've told you this before. I wasn't open to this expression of ministry, of this expression of the life with Christ. But here's a woman who comes to him, and this is in the Word of God. I didn't write it. I just teach it. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that and said, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. Let me ask you this. In today's society, if she had taken her daughter to a medical clinic, how would they have diagnosed her? If she had taken her daughter to a hospital, what are the symptoms? As she explained the symptoms, how would they have diagnosed it?
Mental illness. Make her accurate.
Here we have no problem. The woman, the mother herself, recognized this is not physiological. This is not just a mental condition. It's not just an emotional condition. It's a spiritual condition.
Amen.
And she recognized it was demonic. And there's no indication she was a believer.
No.
But she was a mother.
Yep.
And she saw the bizarre behavior of her daughter. And she knew that was not normal. That was not natural. And so she came to Jesus saying, my daughter has a demon. Called it right out. Came to him. My daughter is severely demon possessed. Demon possessed. He answered her not a word. She kept asking. He didn't even respond to her. Didn't even reply to her. So she kept asking. So the word tells us. But he answered and said, I'm sorry, go back up to verse 23. He answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away. She cries after us. She stays at it. She's annoying. Send her away. He answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The only people I've come to minister to at this time is the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She's not an Israelite. She's not in the mix. But look at verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. He answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and to cast it to the little dogs. It's not good to take that which is designated for the children and give it to the puppies, give it to the little dogs. And she says, you're right, Lord. You're right. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the puppies. But even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I'll take the crumbs. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'll take the crumbs. She's saying to Jesus, I'll take the crumbs of whatever you will give me, because the crumbs that you give is greater than and better than anything else anybody else can give me.
Amen.
I'll take the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs of your grace. I'll take the crumbs of your mercy. I'll take the crumbs of your love. I'll take the crumbs of your power. I'll take the crumbs. I'm not worthy of anything else. I know that. I'm a Gentile. You're a Jew. Would you talk to the Lord like that? Have you ever talked? I've basically talked to the Lord like that from time to time. I have. Would you go before the Lord like that? Would you go before the Lord saying, look, we both know I'm not worthy. We both know I don't deserve this, but I'm coming before we're thrown anyway.
Amen.
You're the only solution. If I'm going to have a solution to this, if there's a source to this, you're it. There's nothing in the medical cabinet that'll do it. There's nothing in the medical protocol that will do it. You, Jesus, you have the answer. And I'm coming to you. And I'm putting my situation. And let's be honest with ourselves. You may not even talk about it to your wife or your husband. You may not even talk about it to God. And you may not want to admit it to yourself. But sometimes we have situations and circumstances we really don't know what to do with.
Amen.
We don't know how to handle them. We got people sitting in churches this morning that are dealing with issues in their life, in their thinking, in their life. They don't know how to deal with it. But they won't talk to anybody about it. And you'd be surprised how many of them won't talk to Jesus about it. They won't even take it to Him. They live with it. Well, this is just the way it is. This is the condition. This is how it is. I just have to live with it. She didn't do that. She said, you're right. You're right, Lord. But even the little dogs, the puppies, eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Have you ever said to Jesus, I'll be willing to settle for the crumbs? I'll take the crumbs, Jesus. The crumbs of your mercy. The crumbs of your love. The crumbs of your grace. The crumbs of your power. I will take the crumbs. And be thankful to get them.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I've said that to the Lord. I'll take the crumbs. I've said that. I'll take the crumbs. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Don't let this escape you. Geographically, He is not with the daughter. He is somewhere. The mother has gone to Him and found Him where He was. The daughter is at home. She makes her approach to Jesus. And she prevails with Jesus. I'll take the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs of whatever you will give me. I'll take it. Oh, great is your faith. You settle for the crumbs, your daughter's healed. That profession of faith, that expression of faith, won him. He said, it's done. And the word says her daughter was healed from that hour. So when she gets back home, she's got a normal daughter. Do you know how many hospitals today are treating circumstances and situations that no medical protocol known to man will cure?
Amen.
Hear me well. We have hospitals and we have waiting rooms and doctor's offices that are filled with people waiting to be seen, and there is not a medical protocol known to men that will solve their problem.
No.
Amen.
If God doesn't do it, it won't be done.
Amen.
If God won't do it, it won't be done. It can't be done from a bottle, a package, nor shot. But you see, here again, one
own one. One own one. The husband can pray for the wife. The wife can pray for the husband. But each of us have to go before the throne individually. Personally. Father God, here's my problem. I don't know what to call it, but I know how it acts. I know the symptoms. I know how it manifests. I don't know what to call it, but you know what it is and you know the source. One of the things I've had to deal with over the years as a preacher, when God said, I will visit the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. I will visit the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. And that becomes a continuum in that bloodline until somebody in that bloodline draws a line in the sand, goes before God, based on the Word of God, and approaches God from that point of view. Clark Whitton's a well-known preacher in this nation. I had Clark in our church years ago. Clark came from a family of demonized brothers and sisters. He admitted it from the pulpit. He came from a home of demonized relatives. But he made up his mind, I'm not going to be demonized. And he went before the throne of God and he kept praying, taking his position in Christ Jesus, renouncing, rebuking, praying, interceding, asking, and got the victory.
Amen.
Got the victory. Clark Whitton, well-known preacher in the country. He gave us that testimony at our church, the old Central Baptist Church down in San Marco. This woman wouldn't give up. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table, and I'll take the crumbs. Have you ever said to the Lord, I'll take the crumbs of your mercy? You don't have to. He'll flood you with his mercy and his grace. But am I willing to take that position? She did. It's not right, he said. You see, his initial response, to her did not discourage nor defeat her. His initial response to her did not defeat her nor discourage her. He says it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. He was telling her that his primary focus was to the Jews. That's his primary focus. And her response was a response of recognition and faith. Yes, you're right. I understand that. But even the puppies eat the crumbs. Great is your faith. And because you have said that, your request is granted. Oh, folks, once we look at this, she stated both her condition and her desperation. Have you ever just stated your condition and your desperation? Have you ever been in a situation where you simply didn't know what else to do other than take it to Him? Have you ever suffered anything physiologically, emotionally, spiritually, that you didn't know how to name it, but you could take to Him and say, this is what I'm dealing with? Folks, sometimes it takes gut out. Gutting, I call it gutting out with God, getting down to the base level. I understand I understand the scriptures with respect to the sins of the fathers. I understand the third and fourth generation and the continuum. But I also understand taking a stand, making a stand, turning against the sins of the fathers, submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and believing and receiving what only He can give.
Amen.
And let's face it. We face conditions that only He can solve. Am I willing to acknowledge that? He responded in love and compassion. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed in that very hour. I'm saying to you this morning, there are people sitting right here this morning. Situations, circumstances, emotional scars, spiritual scars. The Word of God talks about wounds and bruises in the spirit. And sometimes those wounds and bruises in the spirit occur from infancy forward. Sometimes it's wise to slow down. Lay aside all the stuff that you deal with, all the stuff you look at, and all the stuff you... and get quiet. And get still. And acknowledge those things that you know impacted you in your life even 20, 30, 40 years ago. And take them to the Lord. You see, I don't think most of the church ever attaches unclean spirits to conditions, spiritually, emotionally, or physically.
No.
But the Word's clear. The Word makes it very clear. I'm not real sure that the average church knows how to even address the issues. We have for the years. We will. Jesus come to set the captives free. And each and every one of us have to decide, I want to be free. I will visit the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. That becomes a continuum until there's repentance. There's certain things no medical protocol is going to help. No bottle of pills will help. Sometimes you got to ask yourself, which is greater? Slow down and listen to me. I have to ask myself this. Which is greater, your faith or your discouragement? Which is greater? Your faith or your discouragement? Which is greater? Your faith or your unbelief? Which is greater? Your faith or your doubt of God's Word? You know, Jesus, well, I'll get there in a moment. I ain't going to get ahead of myself. Now I'm going to come to that centurion that came to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, beginning verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, wait a minute. Why is a Roman centurion, battle-hardened, battle-tested? That's how he got to be a centurion, most likely. Because you didn't get to be a centurion overnight for no reason. A centurion had 100 men under him. And a centurion normally was battle-hardened, had been exposed to combat, conflict, had proven himself to be courageous, had proven himself to be a warrior, and as a result of that, had been promoted to centurion and had 100 soldiers underneath him. That centurion had access to everything Rome had to offer. But a centurion came to him pleading with him. A Roman centurion pleading with him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home sick, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I'll come heal him." Boy, the church could get there. The centurion said, "I have a servant." And he explained the condition. And it was a horrible condition. Paralyzed, everything. Jesus said, "I'll come heal him." Just like that. You see, Jesus is oftentimes more ready to respond than we are to ask.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. Jesus is oftentimes more ready to respond than we are to ask. "I'll come and heal him." And the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." I'm not worthy that you should come into my home, but I know this. If you will speak the word, my servant will be healed. Why did he say that? Because he understood power. He understood authority. Do you? Do you understand power and authority? This man says, "Listen, I understand power. I understand authority. I've got 100 men under me. I say to this one, go. He goes. No question about it. He does what he's told. I say to that one, come. He comes. No question about it. He just simply does what he's told because he recognizes my authority. He recognizes my power and authority." May I say to you, so much of the church does not recognize the power and authority in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So much of the church does not recognize the power and the authority in Christ Jesus. But then so much of the church never approaches the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this centurion is making it known to Jesus, "You don't have to come to my house. I'm not even worthy of you to come in my home. But I know you say the word, it'll be done." Jesus, I believe that. All you've got to do is speak the word and it will happen. Anybody hearing anything there?
Yes, sir.
All you have to do is speak the word. You have not because you ask not. Jesus heard it. He marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." A Roman centurion expressing more faith than anybody in Israel. Jesus said, "I have not found this kind of faith anywhere in Israel." So what's my point in this? What do you got to lose by asking? What are you facing? What are you up against? Now, hear me carefully. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What do you got to lose by asking? And suppose he says, "Wait. Wait. I'm dealing with this. I've discovered this. I've discovered that at times he wants to deal with an issue in my life, my thinking, my reactions, my responses, before he gets around to dealing with what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Let's deal with you first. Let's deal with this attitude. Let's deal with this condition. Let's deal with this situation. Let's deal with this reaction. Let's deal with this response. Then let's deal with that. Well, let me ask you this. What do you got to lose by asking? Just get alone with God. Say, Father, I got someone to lay on you. And don't skirt around the issue. Gut it out. That's not very good preaching talk, but it expresses what I'm trying to say. In other words, be open, be blunt, be open, be honest. Lay it out before Him. He understands it anyway. He already knows about it. That's what the leper did. He came to Him and said, you can help me if you will. I have every confidence. I believe you can help me if you will. I don't know if you will or not, but I believe you can. Can you say that to Jesus? I don't know if you will or not in this situation, but I know you can. And I'm asking you to. The woman with the demonized daughter did the same thing. She didn't give up. I'll take the crumbs. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever said to God, I'll take the crumbs of your goodness. I'll take the crumbs of your mercy. I'll take the crumbs. She said that. He said, I haven't found this kind of faith. The centurion, position, power, authority, but recognized his limitations and came to Jesus. I wonder how many today would recognize the condition, their own spiritual condition, for that matter, their own emotional condition. I'm going to wrap this up by saying this to you. The world is full of unclean spirits. The world is full of demons. I've mentioned this to you before, but I came from a basic investigative background. Facts, facts, facts. Things we can stand on. And I really wasn't open to some expressions of doctrine. And the Lord had to bring me through the levels and expose me to it and bring me to it. And I had to see with my eyes the manifestation of unclean spirits on and in a physical body. Had to come up against it. I'll never forget the night. The old Central Baptist Church, we had a two-story home behind the house. And we housed people in there. We had staff in there. We had some students in there. And this one individual I've been dealing with, I went into Christ. I was on my knees with him when he came to Christ. He was an alcoholic. And he was totally, 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 thoroughly demonized. Demon possessed. And one of the seminary students and one of my staff called me, said, we got a problem here. We don't know what to do. You better come see about it. So I went, and sure enough, this individual's up there ranting and raving and cursing and swearing and threatening. And so I go upstairs to confront him. This has nothing to do with me. Understand that. But Jesus was teaching me. He was putting me through class myself. But what's his name? I won't give his name. Picked up a chair and came at me with a chair, threatening to break the chair over my head. And I stood watching him. And I said, the name of Jesus, put the chair down. I didn't say it that nicely. And then I said, the name of Jesus, sit down and shut up. And he sat down in the chair and he shut up. I'm saying to you, the average church member does not understand the power that's in the name of Jesus. Amen. We like to pretend it's not real. We like to pretend it's not for today. But you are living in a sin-infested world. And you, as a child of God, are a subject of warfare. And Satan wants to neutralize you. Once we understand who we are in Christ Jesus, that the warfare is real, the circumstances are real, and sometimes it manifests itself in different ways. But we have to be willing to recognize reality. We have to recognize the difference between a physical condition and a spiritual condition. And you know, this guy came to Jesus. You can ask for healing. Sometimes it's wise to say, what's at the base of this? What's at the base of my situation? What's at the base of my circumstances? I'm going to wrap it up with this. You came out of the womb with a sin nature. And you came out of the womb subject to the sins of the fathers in your generation and in your bloodline. And so many of God's children never realize what I'm putting up with. I don't have to put up with if I come to grips with reality and spiritual truth.
Amen.
I've got to know my position in Christ Jesus. I've got to take my position in Christ Jesus. And I've got to operate from that position in prayer, faith, believing, and leave the results up to Him.
Amen.
In His timing and in His way. We all came into the kingdom of God as spiritual infants. We've all got levels of spiritual growth we've got to come through. And you will not come through a level of spiritual growth without resistance.
Amen.
The enemy is going to resist you every day of the world to keep you from progressing in spiritual growth. Heavenly Father, for the moment, I think this is as far as I can take it. So I'm asking you, Lord, to take it, use it to encourage, enlighten, strengthen. I'm asking you to take the truth that's been delivered in this message. It's real, folks.
Yes.
Father, it is real. Help us to grasp reality, respond to reality, and approach your throne with that which we are dealing with, and help us to understand that which is in the physiological, the spiritual, the emotional, whatever realm it may be in, and sometimes it's a combination.
Right.
But give us the wisdom and the willingness to submit and surrender in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank you for being with us today here on Challenge, and I told you going into this message that this was the message I preached this past Sunday to our local fellowship here in Jacksonville. But you are my greater congregation. You are just as much a part of Challenge Ministries as if you were sitting in the auditorium with our people Sunday after Sunday. And I want to do something for you today that the Lord has laid on my heart. I want you to understand something about the sins of the fathers. I want you to understand something about the problems associated with the sins of the fathers. I have people in my radio congregation who do not understand this biblical truth, this biblical principle concerning the sins of the fathers. And some of you are wrestling with situations, circumstances. You are trying to stand against that which is warring against your soul without understanding the origin of the battle, why the battle is raging against you, how the battle became initiated against you. I want to take you for a moment to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5. Will you ask the Holy Spirit of God to give you ears to hear? The Word of God says in Exodus 34, 5, "Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" It took me a long time to come to grips with that truth. It took me a long time to understand the significance of that truth. But then the Word always confirms itself, will always confirm itself with a word from the Word. For example, we come now to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 7. "Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation." The sin the ancestors oftentimes give ground to Satan. And by giving ground to Satan, they introduce unclean spirits, demons, into the bloodline. We must consider, when we think about this, we must also consider what the Word of God says in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18. In Numbers 14, 18, the Lord said this, "The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation." You see, unclean spirits gain access through the wounds and bruises in the spirit, as well as through the sins of the fathers. So we have both issues to deal with. The sins of the fathers, our ancestors, by sinning the sins that they sinned, they opened the door to our bloodline to unclean spirits, which took advantage of that open door, came in through that open door into that bloodline, and remain in that bloodline until somebody in that bloodline, born again, draws a line in the sand, as did Clark Whitten. Clark Whitten has preached in our church. Clark Whitten is well known in church circles in the country. And he himself gave his testimony in our church concerning this truth and this reality in his life and the life of his family. The Word of God says in Psalms 109, verse 22, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." Folks, the church is filled with the walking wounded. We are surrounded day by day with the walking wounded. Many times marriages where one or both of the mates are walking wounded. We have marriages like that, where both mates in the marriage are among the walking wounded. For that matter, we often have pulpits filled with those with wounded spirits. It's a common ailment among humanity. It began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned and opened the floodgates for every demonic activity, opened the floodgates for human beings to be affected, impacted, even indwelt by unclean spirits. I'm just giving you this information for you to think about. Pray about it. It took me years. It took me years to come to grips with the reality of these biblical spiritual truths. I pass them on to you for your prayerful biblical consideration. Let me close with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of declaring this word with our radio congregation that we declared with our local congregation this past Sunday. I'm asking you, Father God, to give the congregation ears to hear. Give them hearts to believe. Give them hearts to receive biblical truth. And Holy Spirit of God, I am asking you to make real to these who have heard this message. I'm asking you to make the message real to them. I'm asking you to encourage them and strengthen them. I'm asking you to move in their hearts, that they will come before your throne, check in their own lives, their past, their present, and looking forward to the future, and seeking complete, total deliverance. Father, help your people to understand that we come into the family of God as spiritual infants, and then we have so much spiritual growth to do, and we have so much to get rid of in our lives that was in our lives when we came into the kingdom of God and the family of God. So, Father, I deliver it to you. I ask you to use it to glorify yourself, to advance the kingdom of God, and do damage to the kingdom of darkness. This I ask in Christ Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for the privilege of doing so. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks for being with us today here on Challenge. And think carefully, consider carefully, consider prayerfully what you've heard today. And may God bless you real good.